It's Too Many Tabs. We're back again for another episode where a husband and wife duo sit across from each other and they share information about a topic that they have studied all across this week. And how do they do that? They do that by going to a library, by going on the internet, by just asking around to people they know, and they open too many tabs on their screen, and then slowly they close each of those tabs as they tell the person across from them all about that information.
Oh, you're closing them?
I've been closing them.
Oh, that's wild.
Do you just leave all of the tabs open forever?
Sometimes.
Baby, that's that's too many tabs.
Too many frauds and too many scammers that we wish weren't real. Too many cons and too many spammers, and we're starting to feel like we've got too many tabs open. It's too many tabs. Remember to smile.
We're back for another episode, Mrs. P.
Did we ever leave?
I've
just been in this room, recording podcasts.
I know, that's all we do.
Day in and day out.
We record podcasts, we have babies screaming in our face.
No, I was just talking to myself.
You were talking to yourself?
The mic wasn't on, I was just talking to myself lot for a week.
Yeah, well, you have been slowly going insane. But we're here, we're back, another episode.
Yeah.
A lot of new people have recently joined the Patreon.
Awesome.
And we want to tell people what's on the Patreon this week.
Oh, there's a poll.
Yeah, there's a poll that you just released, because you have three books you're looking at for possible Mrs. P book club readings.
So I get a lot of suggestions, which I appreciate. People inbox me on Patreon, people inbox me on my Instagram at Mrs. Pearlmania 500, and they leave comments and they message me all the time about books they think that I would like, also that would upset you. Those are really the two qualifications. I like it, it upsets you.
Yeah.
And so these three books were suggested, and I created a poll that's on Patreon right now. If you're a Patreon, you can vote on it. And whichever one wins, I'm going to read in the coming months and make an episode about it. There's one book called Leech, and it's about evil worms, I suspect. There's one book called Black Sheep, which is about a gal who grew up in like a really tight religious community.
Mm-hmm.
And then she escapes, but then she's brought back for some weird reason. And then the last one, I don't remember the name of it. It's about somebody who wakes up alone on a cruise ship.
I think the last one's called The Last One, isn't it?
Isn't it? Maybe?
I think it's called The Last One.
There you go.
Yeah.
It got really popular on TikTok because that guy that went on the six-month TikTok cruise.
Okay.
The way he got on the cruise was this book publisher was like, hey, read our book while you're on the 6 months cruise. It's literally called The Last One.
It's pulled it up. Yeah, you're like, The Last One? I don't remember what it's called. It's called The Last One.
I have scrambled eggs for breakfast.
But listen, the descriptions are all on the Patreon.
They're great. Yeah. But no, so the reason this book cover might look familiar to some people is that it went viral on TikTok.
Yeah.
I didn't read it. But I am willing to read it if it wins.
Yes. And also on the Patreon, we finally announced the beginning and most of the dates for the Soup for My Family tour, tour that
He's
is beginning.
Abandoning us to go on tour to see all of you.
A few people asked, I thought it was called the I Abandon My Boy tour. I thought about that, but like, people who don't know me would be like, this man abandoned his son and expects me to pay.
Yeah,
$15 to $20 to see him do stand-up.
That's a bargain right
it's
there.
It's a good bargain.
$15 to $20?
All right. They're all at Helium locations. We, like I said, those have been announced across the Patreon. It's public for everyone to be able to read. Portland, Oregon Helium on June 8th. Buffalo, New York Helium on June 13th. Austin, Texas will be at Cap City. I'm doing two shows in Philadelphia, Indianapolis, and St. Louis Heliums as well. Those are all in September, so there aren't links for those yet. I also do have my three shows in Philadelphia.
Also, I want to be clear, as the person that goes through a lot of our comments,
yes,
there are a lot of people that want you to go to a lot of places,
yes,
which we understand, and we want him to do that.
Yes.
The more successful these shows are, the more willing people are to let us go further on tour.
Yes, and it's also... It's also one of those things, it's a twofold thing, because the more successful these shows are, then the more likely I will abandon my son to go to another city.
Wow, okay.
Let's be honest, like, there's a big part of this is, like, I'm going to go try to see how we can do in some of these markets and some of these places, because if I wasn't 40 with a child, I would be more likely to be like, oh, yeah, let's go to Portland, Oregon. Oh, there's only 15 people here? Okay, great. But now I'm like... hey, if there isn't at least a certain amount of people, like, why the fuck did I just fly here?
Yeah.
So, like, I want to, every time I'm getting on a plane, I want to make.
Portland, Oregon, to go to Bob's Red Mill?
I know. We're going to get into that. The fact that you're
I'm
like.
I'm so mad.
I know. I'm going to go to the Bob's so restaurant.
You are not going without me.
I'm going without you.
You are not going without me.
I'm
going to
take Satoya and we're going to FaceTime you.
Oh, I will be so mad. I'll divorce both of you.
Yeah, but Satoya, like, again, as you've mentioned in the past, Satoya will be featuring me for me on all of the shows. You heard him from the Muhammad Ali episode, and he'll be back again as a future guest before the tour begins. As I was trying to mention before you cut me off.
Sorry.
We do still have a few tickets available for the three Philly shows that are happening on April 12th and April 13th.
Yep.
I've been told that two of the three shows are near selling out.
Yep.
So there'll be still some tickets available for the Saturday later show. But if you're interested in those and any of this information, go to our Patreon or check the show notes on this podcast and wherever you're listening to it. So with that. Mrs. P.
Yeah.
I believe we've knocked out all of our intro.
The things we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, and we'll get...
Except for all the things we want to talk about at the end.
At the end, yes. Because when we do our shout-outs, and I was reading through some of the names, some people actually have been using their names as questions.
Oh, okay.
And so we have answers to some of the questions.
Okay.
That as they'll come up. And you haven't seen any of them. I know the answers.
Oh, right.
But this way I can kind of blindside you with some questions.
I love that for me.
Yeah. So always, 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 please listen to the end of the episode. If you're new and just want to hear your name from Patreon, that's great. If you just enjoy the show, just enjoy the show. And we're going to help you get through this work week. Have a happy Easter or whatever you celebrate. I don't know. This show is dropping on March 31st.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there we go.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we're back. All right, Mrs. P.
Yep.
So this episode today is going to be about Francis Scott Key.
Mm-hmm. Don't know who that is.
Okay. So I picked this topic
yeah.
because Francis Scott Key Bridge is the bridge outside of Baltimore in the Baltimore Harbor
yep.
that collapsed this week.
Uh-huh.
It was big national, international news. The Francis Scott Key Bridge is it's over a mile long bridge that is in the outer harbor of the Baltimore Harbor. Baltimore Harbor is one of the larger Atlantic ports that the United States has in the Maryland area. The collapse of this was pretty shocking. The bridge.
The video is shocking.
Yeah.
Because it hits it and it's like. Do you remember that board game, Don't Break the Ice?
Yes.
It's like it hits it and then everything just collapsed so suddenly.
Yeah, you know, it reminded me a lot of, I know you went to Catholic school, okay, so the answer to this is going to be no.
All right.
But for those of you who went to a good school, did you guys used to make bridges out of toothpicks and glue them together and then put weights on them to see how much they could hold?
Okay, I may not have done that in school.
Yeah.
But the company that I work for yearly makes me do that as a team building exercise with my coworkers it becomes a problem every year.
Yeah.
And they give us like skewers and marshmallows and then we have to team build a structure. And
okay, what I'm describing is like you would use toothpicks and I mean close, not marshmallows though. And it's not a structure. It's literally a bridge.
One year they didn't give us skewers. They gave us spaghetti noodles, like dried spaghetti noodles. And you know me, I'm like, I'm going to win.
Yeah.
So like, I can like, get the spaghetti.
Yeah.
My hands are gooey, like I have fluff on them from jamming spaghetti into marshmallows.
Yeah. Well, the when we saw the bridge collapse and when it happened, like there's also the other thing that happens with a lot of it is like some of the videos are sped up.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All these different things. So this container ship strikes the bridge. It collapses. 6 people died. Mm. And it was horrible. You wouldn't know most of that information, though, if you went to Twitter. There was a lot of people being super racist over there. Mm-hmm. And it was a turning point for a lot of us who used to use Twitter as a place to get new information and insight into breaking news. It kind of was ruined by Elon Musk's pipelining of himself and his ketamine addiction.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. No, he's admitted to doing ketamine. He had an interview with Don Lemon where he was like, I take
ketamine.
You're
not supposed to admit to K-holes, guys.
Yeah, not supposed to. This is the man who's going to take you to Mars. He's doing ketamine in the corner.
He's already on in Mars, dude. Yeah.
He's like, mom. Did you know the aliens? Okay, anyway. So when this bridge collapse happened, there was so many things that were jumping around. Mm-hmm. As you pointed out, you know, there were some people who were like, this was, people were blaming diversity, equity, inclusion,
DEI. Yeah, they're blaming DEI.
They were yelling at Mayor Pete, Transportation Secretary, former Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who is gay, who has made statements in the past that highway infrastructure was set up using racist practices, which we discussed in our redlining episode.
Yeah, let's go listen to our redlining episode. We can discuss how bridges and roads can be a form of racism.
Yeah, and how it's structural racism and it's institutional racism.
Exactly.
But with all of that, you pointed out to me, they were like, how can a bridge be racist? How can transportation be racist? But then they were like,
that boat.
That's a DEI boat.
They're calling the boat woke, but the bridge. The brain melting.
Yeah.
This is why I don't think I've been on Twitter in so many years because I'm like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah,
my brain rots on its own. I don't need help.
My issue when this happened was I defaulted, and it was my old default. It was just like, oh, I'll go there. Maybe I'll learn more from people of Baltimore.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, it was just the worst people I've ever seen.
People that have never been to Baltimore. They
don't
know
about
the
aquarium. People who aren't even in the United States.
Yeah.
We're
screaming
about it.
They don't know about the best aquarium.
Yeah, if I have to hear Ian Miles Chong's opinion,
I don't know who that is.
He is a Malaysian man who was a former Reddit power moderator.
You just said so many things that
don't
make sense.
Who built his platform on Gamergate 1.
He's the best at doing work for free?
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me?
Yes.
And I want to listen to that guy's opinion?
A lot of people did for some fucking reason. And he really loves to spread a lot of misinformation, especially about black people. So whenever he heard... So for a lot of these guys, when they hear Baltimore, they think The Wire. And then all this other different shit. And then you also throw that back for a lot of them. There was a man who was killed. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. A man was killed by the Baltimore police.
Okay.
He was the one who wasn't cuffed in the back of the squad car, of the paddy wagon, as they drove it around. And so I think Freddie Gray.
Oh, yes.
When he died, that was near the beginning with Trayvon Martin. He was one of the other names around there. And so there was protests against police in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So for some people, especially on the brain worms, chronically online, right, you say Baltimore and immediately they're just like black people. No, it's BLM. And so that's where another flashpoint. It's the same way, like go to any uncle anywhere and just say Chicago and watch their face change. Baltimore is like the subversion of that.
People gotta really go to these places. Because you say Chicago to me, and I'm like, I want to talk to you about some food.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about some nice people that make some good food.
Yeah, you say Baltimore to me, you know what I think of?
Aquariums.
Yeah. The Inner Harbor.
Steak dinners.
Yeah.
Oh, that YouTuber that we both like is from there.
ContraPoints.
ContraPoints is from there.
Yes.
She's lovely.
Yeah, so there's just so many things.
So I assume that Baltimore is lovely because ContraPoints is from there.
Yeah, I just hear Baltimore. You know what I think of? Maryland. That's it. It's just part of
their
Maryland.
Their flag is their personality.
The
Maryland.
Here's the one thing I'll give Baltimore. Baltimore, thank you. Thank you for having worse roads than Philadelphia.
oh, ouch.
Yeah. So anyway, with all of that,
okay.
Today's episode is actually about Francis Scott Key.
The guy who named the bridge after.
Yes.
And I don't know who that is.
Yes, because I asked you.
Which we found out a few days ago.
Yeah, which I immediately started researching.
I'm going to be honest. A shameful moment for me. Because, nobody likes to admit they don't know stuff. But I feel like as though I embarrassed myself. After the bridge collapsed and you were watching the news, you said, do you know who Frances Scott Key is? And I said, is that the gal that is the lead actress on Fleabag?
Yeah.
And I don't know why that name. I was like, oh, is that the lady from Fleabag? And you laughed and you scurried upstairs like a raccoon with a strawberry.
Yep.
To go get all the tabs open, which, to start, like, doing research.
Which, like, doesn't even make sense because her name is Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
I don't know.
Did you hear Bridge?
I don't know.
You heard Frances Scott Key Bridge and you were like, Fleabag.
I don't know what. My brain was just like, that's that lady.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But so she's not.
Okay.
Okay. So let's go ahead and I'm going to start explaining who Frances Scott Key is to you.
All right.
Now, the issue I had with doing the research for this is two things. One, because a massive bridge was destroyed,
yep,
that has his name, once I started typing his name in, everything was about the bridge.
Yeah.
The second problem is Frances Scott Key, his name is very similar to F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Okay.
So, again, search engines are like, you mean F. Scott Fitzgerald? Yeah. And I'm like, no, I don't. I'm looking for Frances Scott Key.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to take us all the way back to the War of 1812.
Are we going to talk about how the raccoon with the strawberry that ran upstairs then ran out of the house to go to the library before they closed?
Oh, don't mind me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I started
you
Googling.
You giggled and ran upstairs, and then you came downstairs in a panic, and you're like, every news thing is about the thing. I can't find any information. I need to go to the library right now. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, the library was open until 8. It was 7 o'clock.
It's like, all right, go.
I ran out the door, and I
it
ran to the library.
It was the most chaotic library run anyone's ever witnessed.
I have a stack of 4 books next to me right here.
I know.
And on a lot of the different books I have here, the best one is the top one.
Yeah.
I want you to read the title of this.
Okay. What's So Great About Frances Scott Key by Mary Lou Morano. I can't say their last name.
No, that's fine. But it's a Robbie reader.
A Robbie reader?
Because I don't know if you know this. Do you see what the top two letters there of that, of the Dewey
JB?
Decimal? Yeah, because this is junior biography.
Oh.
Because the rest
of these
are,
book.
This is a kid's book.
Yeah.
All the rest of these books were from the adult section.
Yeah.
Right? And the thing is when you're going through this guy's history, you sometimes you're like, I don't need this much detail.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to get to the start.
Can I read the names of the other three books?
Sure.
Stars and Stripes Forever, The History, Stories, and Memories of Our American Flag. What So Proudly We Hailed, The Frances Scott Key, A Life by Mark Lepson. And this one, Through the Perilous Fight, 6 Weeks That Saved the Nation. And the cover is of what I assume is the White House burning?
Yes.
The original White House?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm learning things. I'm context clues are going
yeah,
on
they
right
start,
now.
They're starting to build to you?
Mm-hmm, yep.
So this begins in the War of 1812. Now, yeah. What do you know of the War of 1812?
Catholic school. Not much.
Not much? Give me a guess. What was the War of 1812 about?
All right, so let's see. 1776 is we're fucking getting Britain out of there, right?
Yeah, okay, that's when we got rid of the British.
So a couple years later, 1812, what are we going to fight about? Because we're not doing the Civil War yet.
No.
We're not in the Civil War yet. So we're,
and
in
we're
this
not invading
in
Mexico. This is
we're
not. And this is clearly set in Baltimore.
Yeah, so we're in Baltimore. Is it trade? Is it trade with French people?
So you're actually pretty close.
Yeah.
You're actually relatively close. So first thing is actually, this is one of those weird ones where now historians disagree on why we fought the war. And depending on where you are in the world, they will have different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So in America, we do occasionally, we don't talk about the War of 1812 that much because technically speaking, on our best day, we can claim it was a tie.
Okay.
We kind of lost this one.
We never talk about the losses.
We kind of lost this one.
We only talk about the wins.
So the War of 1812 in the Declaration, mm-hmm, is because the British were, they were conscripting U.S. sailors into the British Navy.
Okay, but how? We've already declared that we're independent of them.
Okay, so like if like an American boat was floating by,
okay,
and the British Navy needed sailors.
Oh, they would take them?
They would just kidnap them. They'd hit them in the head.
Okay.
And then they would be like, you're in the British Navy now. And they had to serve like 2 years. Like that was how they used to build navies back in.
I wish
nobody
what?
No, I know. That's how they used to.
What?
Have you ever heard the term like Shanghai'd?
Okay.
Shanghai is the idea of like you would get legit. This is back in the day of the British Navy, especially, but a lot of these navies would get people really fucking drunk,
mm-hmm,
or they would give them concussions.
Okay.
And they would drag them on boats, and then the people would wake up and they'd already be at sea.
And they'd be like, "You're a pirate now." go mop the deck.
No, not a pirate. You're a sailor.
Okay, so here's my two forms of thought.
And your option. Listen, once you're on a boat, the implications.
No, you don't want to jump in the water, sharks.
Yeah.
Two thoughts. Number one.
Also, none of them could swim.
Colonizing sailors that way, kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
You're just like, I'm gonna take what is not mine and do this. Also, in the year of 2024, is this an easier way to get a job than applying on Indeed?
It might be.
Because if I have to write one more cover letter,
yeah,
knock me out.
So
throw me on a boat. Actually, don't. I don't want to be on a boat.
So that's one of the implications of the war. Mm-hmm. And that's what's officially in the U.S. Declaration of War that President Madison signs. Mm-hmm. But also, like, we immediately invaded Canada. Because reality, we really wanted to conquer Canada because we had just annexed Florida.
Okay.
So we're like,
what? Honestly,
we got Florida.
We're getting rid of Florida.
No.
Let's bring in Canada. I get that.
No. We annexed Florida, meaning we just took Florida.
Oh my God.
And they were like, dude, that was fucking easy. Let's go take.
Geographically, if you're in Baltimore.
Yeah.
If you're in Maryland, why are you aiming at Canada? That's very far away.
We're getting to that.
Okay. Because
the whole thing with the War of 1812 is, do you know the song, the 1812 Overture?
No.
Yes, you do. You know the song.
I
know you know this song. You know when we go to a fireworks show or we go to anything during the summer and they play that song, it's like, bada 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 bum bum bum.
Oh, boom, yeah, yeah.
And they just shoot the cannons.
Yeah, that's fun. I like that.
Okay, the 1812 Overture is about one of the many wars against Napoleon.
Okay.
And the reason why America thought, yo, we could fuck up Britain right now. And like, let's go again. Because also the other part of it too, remember, this is 1812 from 1776, right? Mm-hmm. So you have a whole new generation of young guys who are like, yo, I want to fight the British like my dad did. That sounded sweet. We've romanticized it now, right?
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So 1812 is also a time where the British are currently fighting Napoleon.
Yep.
Across all of Europe. And Napoleon's like right there.
Yeah.
So when the Americans are like, yo, we're invading Canada, they were like, fuck it, just defense, run defense. We don't care. Fucking, they're doing what? The drunk people are doing what? All right, well, they spell color wrong. That's the way the British reacted to it. So that's what had happened. That's the beginning of the War of 1812.
Okay.
Now it's the spring of 1814.
All right, 2 years later.
2 years later. Mm-hmm. We're still in the War of 1812.
Yeah.
The War of 1812 actually lasts 3 years. They, in other places, like in Canada, I've heard they call it the War of Southern Aggression.
There you go.
But again, this is also weirdly, they don't teach the War of 1812 in Britain because they're like, why? It's one of the many stupid little wars we had.
Okay. Britain doesn't have enough time of children being young to teach them all of the wars that they fought during their bullshit years.
Yeah. So anyway, so now we're fast forward. It's the spring of 1814 and the British just defeated Napoleon in the conclusion of the War of the Sixth Coalition.
Okay.
Because it took six coalitions to defeat Napoleon the first time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He came back again. He does come back. Yeah. And then they do a seventh coalition.
Like Cher. It's a comeback tour.
Yeah. He was like, I'm done. No, I go to Elba. It's fine. but then he showed back up. And they're like, no, Waterloo. Anyway. So, yeah. Napoleon is Thanos. They finally knock him out. And then the British are like looking around. They're like, all right. We need all these extra troops because they had all these troops to fight Napoleon, and they're like
stolen troops that they knocked out and just made
a bunch
them
of
troops.
Them plus all these extra. But now they have all these veterans who've been fighting Napoleon. They're like these dudes,
yeah,
these dudes can go fuck up America. So grizzled. They sent these guys over to Canada, but they also sent the British Navy, who had been blockading across the Atlantic coast, all up and down the Atlantic coast, and had been wreaking havoc on the American trade. So we couldn't trade with France. We couldn't trade with other countries.
Trade with France. Okay, things I said.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Back at it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All these different things are in there. So now they have these extra troops, and they've already expelled the Americans out of most of the Canadian territories and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
Now they roll up, and they're like, we got all these extra guys. I'm going to go fuck up all the whole Chesapeake Bay.
What?
So the Chesapeake Bay is the area. If you look at Maryland looks weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's this giant bay in the middle of it.
Yep.
It's mostly water. Like a lot of Maryland is water. And the Chesapeake Bay is where a lot of different ports and shipping and all this other different trade used to come out of. It still does, but not to the extent it used to.
Mm-hmm.
And they just went in there and the British Navy was like, yo, we can just pull up on every town and we don't even have to leave the boat.
That's like when you were talking about the Japanese, when they were just on the boats outside.
Yeah, yeah, remember? Yeah. So they would just pull up and they would just start bombarding or they'd raid places. They're burning things down. And this starts in April of 1813, but it really kicks into gear in April of 1814. The British Royal Navy executed a series of expeditionary raids and bombardments along the Chesapeake Bay. This goes all the way down from the top of North Carolina through Virginia, Maryland, and parts of Delaware. And there's even some that go all the way up to like Connecticut that are considered part of this Chesapeake campaign.
Okay.
Even though Connecticut is not part of the Chesapeake Bay. But the most famous part of this is the burning of Washington, D.C., which is on the cover of that one book, including the burning of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, most of Washington, the newly built Capitol, is burned to the ground, with the exception of the Patent Office.
Well.
So there's like a famous story of like, I think one of the clerks at the Patent Office, or maybe the person who's in charge of it, like leaning out and like yelling at the British, like, you can't burn this. And then like.
They didn't.
But there's like more involved there.
British people love a rule. Well, they love rules.
This is one of those weird parts.
They're too polite.
No, but this is one of those weird wars back in the day because there were rules. They're like gentlemen's rules. So like
you can't burn down the Patent Office.
Yeah, basically. That's kind of how they're like, you can listen, burn down the Capitol. Fine. We get it. It's symbology. But the Patent Office, sir, the paperwork.
The paperwork alone.
Yeah. So this attack was led by the whole Chesapeake Bay campaign was led by Rear Admiral George Cockburn.
Cockburn.
Yep.
Nice.
And the land forces were led by Major General Robert Ross for the British. And I have a picture here.
His name's Robert Ross, like Bob Ross?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like Bob Ross wouldn't do that.
I feel like, the Bob Ross that
Happy
we know.
Happy little birds.
But here's the thing. Here, I want to show you. This is Rear Admiral Cockburn. And this is an official portrait of him.
Wow.
Standing in front of a burned Washington, D.C. He was proud of that
okay,
shit.
Okay, all right.
So interesting thing about him that
found. An image like that and today will get you locked up for January 6th.
Yeah, that would.
That's a selfie you don't want your niece to share.
Yeah, this,
you know,
honestly, that dude who was carrying the podium and waving to the camera, that's what he thought he was doing.
Yeah, he was like, look at me. And then his niece who doesn't like him anymore, who's not going to talk to him at Easter.
Yeah.
Was like, I'm going to send this to the FBI, you son of a bitch.
So I want you to guess.
Okay.
I want you to guess what actress turned director is related to Rear Admiral Cockburn.
Okay. Actress turned director?
Yes.
Director. Sofia Coppola.
No. A movie that you recently watched and you did not like.
A movie I watched and I didn't. Was I at a movie theater?
No, you were home.
A movie I watched at home that I didn't like. Oh, I don't remember the last time I watched a movie.
It was a bit ago. I think it might have been the end of last year.
Oh, God. What? I don't remember anything from last year. I don't know.
Olivia Wilde.
Oh.
He is related. He's a descendant of Olivia Wilde.
Oh, to be clear, I didn't hate that movie. I felt that the one guy, the young guy, was terrible in it.
Harry Styles.
Frances Pugh is incredible in everything she does, ever, forever. The Star Trek guy, one of the good Chris's.
Chris Pine.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And the plot line, I was like, by the end of it, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. That's what incels would do.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah.
But I was just mad.
You weren't like in love with it, though.
No,
I just remember you afterwards being like, meh.
Yeah.
That was kind of
I was just like, yeah, that's what it is.
Olivia Wilde was born Olivia Jane Cockburn.
But, oh, come on.
Yeah.
She's such a little wuss. You didn't want to go to Hollywood with Cockburn as your last name, you little bitch.
Yeah, that's why Jason Sudeikis served her papers while she's in the middle of her tour. Anyway, a little bit more about Cockburn, just so you know, just because I was like, who is this guy? He sounds like a big deal. And one thing that's always kind of fun when you learn about some of these generals is like what they did right after they retire.
Yeah.
But this guy... He actually, in August of 1815, he was the admiral who was given the job of taking Napoleon back to St. Helena. So after they defeated Napoleon at Waterloo, he was the first governor of the island of St. Helena, and he took Napoleon there and then shoved him in that like house.
Huh. Our war generals now just become lobbyists for
the war companies.
The war companies.
Yeah.
So different.
Yeah, like he did more stuff after that where he was like a politician.
He started working for Lockheed Martin.
Basically.
Yeah.
He was like, yo, we need more strategic one horsepower horses. So that's going to bring us now. So now we kind of understand. So everything, Washington was just burned down.
Okay.
That's like August
yep.
of 1814. Mm-hmm. Washington, D.C. was burned to the ground.
Yeah.
The president had to flee.
Yeah.
There's a famous painting of George Washington, actually, that was like saved and all this other different stuff. It's mm-hmm. in the White House today. All this different stuff. So that brings us to August 28th, 1814.
1814.
All right. Dr. William Beans was captured in his home by British forces.
Dr. Beans.
Yep.
Dr. Beans is the name of a cat.
Now, this
I would like to get a cat right now. I'm going to put it on the record and name it Dr. Beans.
Dr. Beans.
Dr. Beans.
Now, Dr. Beans.
Middle name Jelly. Dr. Jelly Beans.
Dr. Beans is an old doctor who was loved in the town of Marlborough.
That's
a very difficult, difficult name.
Marble.
Marlborough. Marlborough, Maryland. And he was Marble like Lights. An old doctor there. And now this is what Wikipedia said. Wikipedia said that he was accused of helping American troops arrest British soldiers who were accused of looting homes.
That seems like an accusation that's not bad.
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't seem too bad. But so the British captured and arrested Beans
okay.
because he captured and arrested troops as he helped do that.
Okay.
And who were looting.
Got it.
Now, that's the Wikipedia version.
All right. What are
now,
you...
in one of these books that I have here, the real version is that the locals in the town mm-hmm. were all at a tavern.
Yeah.
And they got a rumor came around that not only had the American troops just won a battle,
mm-hmm.
but they whooped the British ass in revenge for burning down D.C.
Let's go.
And everyone got like fucking like, yeah, that's fucking great. And they
Riot.
Started singing patriotic
Riot.
Songs.
Yeah.
And they started drinking,
mm-hmm.
and they started getting real hammered. And apparently, many people said that the drunkest, loudest of them all was Dr. Beans. Old Dr. Beans was shithoused.
Yo.
And then, out of nowhere, three British soldiers walked into the tavern.
Dr. Beans would have loved Eagles football.
Yo, let me tell you right now. No, Dr. Beans is a Ravens fan, all right? He's like Stavros, okay? Yeah. He's a Ravens fan, missing a tooth.
Through and through.
Yeah, all right. So these three British soldiers walk in, and they're like, because they're just like kind of like injured. They're a little bit stragglers. They're a little bit behind.
They're just looking for pie.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, we'll just go in here. Because that's the other thing, too, is like when you're during these wars at this time, like, hey, it's enemy troops.
Sure, whatever. All
right, whatever. And it's gold.
Because you don't actually hate them. You're just like getting paid to fight them.
Yeah, you're just like, all right, man, we get it. Like, it's fine, whatever. So like the three British soldiers walked in, and everyone was just like, yo. Fuck them dudes! And they just beat the shit out of them.
Okay, yeah.
Right? And then they frog march them. So they march them in this big parade
uh-huh.
to the jail.
Yep.
And Dr. Beans is in the front like a fucking drunk marshal.
Mm-hmm.
Just like,
mm-hmm.
we're taking them to a fucking jail! Fuck these guys in their butts! Anyway,
yep.
so everybody's hammered.
Yeah.
The next morning, everyone wakes up and they're like, dude, did we just arrest three British guys?
Did we
guys?
Just citizen arrest three dudes?
And they're like, listen,
we got to get them out. That's yeah, nice.
They did. They literally went to the jail and they unlocked. They're like, we are so sorry.
They had the keys?
Yeah. They're like, we're so sorry.
Yeah,
and they released
my
them.
My bad.
So they released the three British soldiers, and the British soldiers immediately go back and find their unit. Mm-hmm. They find their commander.
They snitch.
Yeah, they snitched.
Fucking
they're
snitches.
Like, well, they had to because cool. the commander's
no,
like.
No, you don't got to.
Listen, the commander's like, you were supposed to be here by 9.
Oh, I see.
And they're like, we got arrested by a drunk doctor.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So the British went back and they arrested this doctor. And they're like, fuck this dude. Now, this is where Francis Scott Key finally enters the story.
I was wondering.
I know. We're a half hour in.
Yeah.
So Francis Scott Key shows up. Now, he appears. And now I'm going to explain a little bit about him. Sorry. Francis was a Maryland lawyer.
Okay.
And he's very well known in the area. He was born in 1779.
All right.
His parents owned a plantation in Maryland called Terra Rubra. All right. Terra Rubra means red earth. They were slave owners.
Okay.
And Francis Scott Key himself owned slaves. We know he purchased a slave in 1800. His father was a lawyer and a veteran of the American Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
And because he grew up in Maryland in the between Annapolis and D.C. area, he was surrounded by politicians and knew personally like signers of the Declaration of Independence and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
He met his wife, Mary Taylor Lloyd.
Taylor?
I don't know. That's
all
what
right,
it said.
Sure.
His wife, he was 18 when he met his wife. It did not say how old his wife was at the time, but they had 11 children over a bunch of years. We know him today as Francis Scott Key,
mm-hmm.
but he was more well known as a lawyer at the time, and he went by F.S. Key.
Oh.
So
like a pen name.
Yeah. Like nice. J.K. Rowling.
No. Well, oh, jeez.
Yeah. So
he
anyway,
was a TERF?
Okay. No. But no, but he is kind of a centrist, actually.
Oh.
Like, he's annoyingly a centrist when it comes to a lot of things. Also a devout Episcopalian. So,
that's weird.
He is 35 years old as he enters this story.
Okay.
So, which is like middle-aged for these times.
Yeah.
So, on September 3rd, so remember this is, it was late August,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Beans gets arrested.
Okay, it's late August, it's hot, it's sticky, it's muggy in Maryland.
Yep.
Got it.
It's, so on September 3rd in 1814, President Madison
mm-hmm.
tells and gives permission to Key to go parlay and get Dr. Beans back.
As a lawyer.
As a lawyer.
Got it.
Because they're like, listen, you're well-respected. Everyone knows you in the community. And you know Dr. Beans. And Scott Key was like, I like Dr. Beans. We should get Dr. Beans.
Yeah.
I just like saying Dr. Beans.
Obviously. Because I'm picturing a cat.
Yeah.
Specifically like a tuxedo cat with like maybe white paws.
I was picturing more of as a gray long-haired cat.
Oh, that's pretty good too.
Like not a Persian, but like a long, like maybe like a Maine Coon.
Oh, a Maine Coon, like a big thickum.
Yeah, big thickum.
A big thickum named Dr. Beans.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
So he wrote a letter to his mother. In the letter he said, quote, I'm going to in the morning to Baltimore to proceed in a flag vessel to General Ross. Old Dr. Beans of Marlborough is taken prisoner by the enemy who threatened to carry him off. Some of his friends have urged me to apply for a flag and go and try to procure his release. I hope to return in about 8 or 10 days, though it is uncertain as I do not know where to find the fleet.
Okay.
So that's what he wrote to his mom. He's like, I'm going.
Dear
and
mom.
Apparently he told his kids, he's like, you know, I love you kids, but like, you know, I've got to go save Dr. Beans.
Yeah.
And he kissed his wife on his forehead and he left. So he goes... Key goes and he finds Colonel Skinner.
Okay.
Colonel Skinner is an American.
Yep.
And he is an agent for prisoners of war. So this guy's whole job is to go around and be like, all right, I'll give you two of yours back if you give me one of mine. Like, that's his thing.
Now, did you do the genealogy on him? And is he related to Skinner from X-Files?
He is not related to Skinner from X-Files.
Well, I'm gonna
I couldn't
him,
find really much
I'm
about this guy.
I'm going to picture him as Skinner from X-Files for the rest of this.
From what I could tell,
Bolt.
This moment of Colonel Skinner
upset at Mulder
walking into the story
mm-hmm.
is about like the most famous thing this guy did.
Just like the next X-Files.
Is the fact
he's not
that,
the Smoky Man.
No, but the fact that he's just here
yeah.
is like enough. Like okay. This is his moment. He wouldn't know it at the time, but this was he's just doing his job. He's like, I'm just getting prisoners released. So they leased a 60-foot ship with a 9-man crew.
Okay.
And they sailed for Baltimore
mm-hmm.
because they think the fleet is somewhere in that area. And with that, we will take a break.
Oh.
And when we come back, I will tell you about Dr. Beans and the Battle of Baltimore.
Oh.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, and we're back.
Okay.
All right, so when we left off, they had just got on the boat and they were sailing for Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
So as they're on this boat, they pull up to a bunch of different British vessels. Now, this is called a flag vessel that they're on, which means they basically have one of those white flags of truce. They're like, hey, we're just... Please don't shoot. We're just guys.
We're just asking if you got our friend.
Yeah, we got paperwork. It's a paperwork, guys.
Yeah.
So they pull up to a few different British ships, and they're like, hey, do you know where our dude is? And they're like, hey, you got to go to this place. You got to go to this place. And finally, he heard that General Ross and a vice admiral are on the HMS Tonant.
Okay.
Tonant? Oh. I don't know how to pronounce it. T-O-N-N-A-N-T. But it's her, His Majesty's ship. It's a British naval vessel, and they're on there, and they have Dr. Beans on that ship.
Got it.
So Key and Skinner and the boat, they sail until they find the British fleet just outside of Baltimore. They pull up, and they wave their flag, and they're brought aboard, and they are immediately presented to Major General Robert Ross and a Vice Admiral Alexander Cochrane.
Oh, a different cock guy.
I know. It's amazing. I was like, why are all the British guys cock guys here?
Well...
So they are just cocky about it.
Yeah. They're like, we got your boy. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah. So they all sit down to dinner and then negotiate over dinner because again, different
British
time.
British people.
No, dude. But it's also just different time. Like imagine like doing this now, like it just wouldn't happen. Now you just shoot at each other and then you send a couple tweets.
Yeah.
And you're like, maybe, I don't know, make a TikTok about it. Okay. Now we'll free them.
Also like we don't have people that go around and try to get people out of prison. Wait, we do. Kim we Kardashian. Do.
Yeah.
You didn't think I was going to say that.
Didn't think you were going to say that.
You didn't think I was going to say that.
So initially the release was refused as the Vice Admiral demanded that Dr. Beans be tried and hung by the crown.
Okay, they're going to hang him because he locked up some guy for 6 hours?
Yeah, basically. He was because it like that's a crime, like stopping the under the British law.
But British law doesn't count in America. Go home.
Yeah, but that was the argument that they had for a little bit.
I got no arguments.
Now, but here's
I'm gonna blow up their boat right now.
No, but here's calm down. Hold on. If you blow up the boat, then Dr. Beans drowns. He's a cat. He can't swim. So Francis Scott Key though has a trump card. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He reaches into his pocket.
Okay.
And he pulls out a stack of letters.
All right.
And these letters are from British soldiers.
Got it.
And the letters are stating that not only did Dr. Beans, but other American doctors have been treating wounded British soldiers and treating them with respect and with care.
Oh.
And as the two, as the general and the admiral read these, they're so moved that they finally acquiesce. And they're like, we're going to release Dr. Beans.
Yeah.
And they're like, awesome.
Got
great.
It.
Let's hop on our boat. And we're going to go home. And they're like, you can't leave.
Wait, what?
They're like, he's not going to be in. He was in the brig in shackles.
Yeah.
Being kicked like an old man down there.
Mm-hmm.
Being fed in dirt. Like
sure.
Like an old drunk doctor.
Got it.
But they're like, no, he can eat people food now.
All right.
He doesn't have to wear shackles.
Okay.
But you can't go nowhere.
What do you mean?
Because the thing is, they don't explain it to him, but it's quite clear that Francis Scott Key, Skinner, and maybe even Dr. Beans himself have now overheard British battle plans just by being present on the boat before the British begin their bombardment and the attack on Baltimore.
Oh, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
Wrong place, wrong time.
So there's some arguing that goes back and forth.
Because what I thought you were going to say to me was like a very Disney villain Ursula situation where they're like, yeah, we'll give you a guy, but now you got to stay here in place. Like they did with the, what's her name, Beauty and the Beast gal.
Oh,
they're like,
yeah,
you
will
release your dad, but now you're my weird sex prisoner.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just thought we were going Disney villain, but this is way weirder.
I'm pretty sure that might be part of the next ACOTAR book. Sitting right over here. We're so close, by the way, to actually reading those. So they are held for a few days. So the first couple of days, they have to stay on a British ship.
Is this one of those things where like they're being held, but they have like a bedroom and they're getting meals three days
a day?
No.
They're being treated as guests now.
Yeah.
They're not prisoners anymore. Now they're giving guest status. Like but they're annoyed about it. They're super annoyed about it.
It's like whenever they see like the French aristocracy and they're like, we're holding you prisoner in a castle. Here's your three servants. And you're like, ah, come on.
Yeah. Oh, no, with the library, with all the books you can read and food.
Yeah.
I don't know why my accent sucks.
I liked it.
All right, so they were not officially giving an explanation, as I said.
Yeah.
And they complained about it a lot, that they wanted to go, they wanted to leave, because...
Segue. They overheard information that they weren't supposed to hear, knowledge that they weren't supposed to get.
Yeah.
That the government didn't want them to know.
That the British government didn't want the American government
yeah,
to
yeah.
know.
I'm playing this storyline right now in my head, is that they overheard and were somehow accidentally walked into information they weren't supposed to know, and Skinner got mad. This is literally the X-Files. This is what happened to Mulder.
Okay. So on September 11th,
uh-huh.
they were finally allowed to go back to their own ship.
Okay.
The 60
foot. The little guy.
Yeah. But they still weren't allowed to leave. That ship had to stay tied to a British ship.
Wait, no. Now they're on their bummer ship?
Yeah, they're on the little boat, not the big boat anymore. And the reason it finally became clear to them on the morning of September 13th why they weren't allowed to leave. Because the morning of September 13th, the three men, along with the rest of the crew of that 60-foot boat,
mm-hmm.
Watched the British begin their bombardment of Fort McHenry.
Okay.
The British Navy would fire on that fort for the next 25 straight hours.
Okay.
Using all of their cannons and Congreve rockets. Approximately 1,500 to 1,800 bombshells were fired from cannons, and over 700 rockets were fired at the fort, killing four men and wounding 24.
Mm-hmm.
Francis Scott Key sat there on the boat all night, and he watched the red glare of the Congreve rockets, and he watched the bombs burst in the air above Fort McHenry.
Mm-hmm.
And the night, as they exploded in the night sky, they illuminated the fort's smaller American flag. Now, by small, I mean it's a 17-foot by 25-foot flag.
Okay.
It's called a storm flag. It's a little bit smaller solely because it won't get whipped as much in the wind when there's storms around. When the bombing stopped in the early morning before dawn broke, Francis Scott Key could no longer see the U.S. flag.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't see it. So without being able to see the flag, he didn't know if the British had captured the fort or not. This fort is very important. It's right on the edge of the inner harbor. By having this fort, you can control all of Baltimore.
Yeah.
It's located, for the people who've been in Baltimore area, it's on the inner harbor, and you actually almost pass underneath it when you're taking the inner harbor tunnels. So he couldn't see the flag. And finally, as the morning broke, he could see that the fort still had a U.S. flag above it, but mm-hmm. not only that, it had a larger garrison flag. So it's twice the size. It's 30 feet by 42-foot flag. Mm-hmm. Massive, like a car dealership flag.
Yeah,
it's
a wacky, huge, waving, wiggling flag.
Yeah. Key was so moved by the sight that he sat down and he began to write a poem.
Mm-hmm.
And that poem was called Defense of Fort McHenry.
Oh, right.
He wrote the poem on the back of a letter that he had in his pocket.
One of the Mr. Bean's letters?
It didn't say particularly if it was one of those letters or if it was just a random letter that he had. It was just, again, this is one of those times where everybody just reused paper because paper was expensive. After the battle concluded, the British had lost. They didn't overtake the fort.
That's right.
They had to.
That's fucking right. Go home.
The big reason for this is because the British never pulled close enough for their cannons and their rockets to make that big of a dent into the fort.
Idiots.
Because the cannons in the fort were stronger than the ones on the boats.
Bet.
So if they moved too close, they would get shot American style.
Remember that.
So they're finally released.
I only get like nationalistic in these moments.
This is it. You're like,
I
fuck
only
you.
Have nationalism when it's like, yeah, well, what's fucking good?
But here's the thing. That's the thing is from watching this, the same way you're feeling that nationalism right now, that's what Francis Scott Key felt.
Yeah.
He like started welling with pride. He was like, let's fucking go, dude.
He
sat there all night. He watched for 25 hours.
They put him on a little boat.
He
made
was on
watch.
A little boat, and they're just beating the shit out of this fort. He doesn't know the dudes in the fort. He doesn't know if everybody's in there's dead. It's dark. The morning comes up and he looks and the sun hits the flag and he's like, let's fucking go.
A bald eagle careens by. He's like, oh! Yeah. America.
I mean,
dude.
I get it. And then he sits down, he does the most fucking manly thing he can fucking think
of.
Writes
a fucking poem, baby.
Yo, he's like, bars. So he writes this poem, The Defense of Fort McHenry. And as they're released, they go into Baltimore itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then he immediately goes to a printer, and he was like, this shit slaps.
Yeah.
Print this out a broadside right now, and doesn't even put his name on it. Now, a broadside was basically like a poster.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit bigger, like an 11 by 14 piece of paper, but it's just one that everybody could read. And he just starts doing that and handing them out his handbills. and it immediately becomes fucking popular.
I just pictured him in this moment as DJ Khaled, where he's just like, we the greatest.
Yeah, basically.
And another one. No, but, just handing them out.
What he's doing right now is, honestly, he's a SoundCloud rapper. He's like, check the link in my bio.
Yeah, he has all the DVDs on the Septibus. He's like, check, this is my mixtape.
Yeah, so he's just bam, bam, bam. He's handing out to everybody. It's in printed handbills. Newspapers pick it up.
Yeah.
And when they print it into the newspapers, there's a notation to the side, and that this poem is a song, and the song is set to the tune of the Anacreonic song.
Okay.
So this is something I did not know.
Oh.
There were a lot of, back in these days, there were a lot of like drinking songs and very common songs. Mm-hmm. They're not like folk, but it's just like a song. It's like a very simple tune that everybody would know.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing is a lot of the popular musicians, not composers, but lyricists and stuff like that, would write different lyrics to songs because everyone knows like,
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Exactly. The song we've been saying, or Wheels on the Bus.
Yeah.
You know, or Itsy Bitsy Spider. Kind of Weird Al-ing it, where it's like, you know the tune. Hey, we're going to do, these are the lyrics. Sing it to that.
Okay, got it.
Sing it to Itsy Bitsy Spider. And he picked the Anacreonic song. Now, I had to look up what the fuck that is.
Yeah, it's a bad name.
It's a terrible name because it's a song that was created by a popular gentleman's society in London.
I don't like the way that sounds.
So it was different. Like, gentlemen's clubs were different in the 1790s mm-hmm. than the modern American Baltimore gentleman's club. If you go to a Baltimore gentleman's club today, it's
very different.
Yo, we're
about to have a good time.
Listen. If you go to Atlanta gentleman's club.
The best time.
The best buffet you ever had in your life. But back then, gentlemen's societies and gentlemen's clubs were areas where it was 100% men because of the time, but it was where they would share about different passions and things like that. So this society was dedicated to the Greek poet Anacreon.
All right.
Anacreon was a poet. He was considered one of the nine poet muses, who's like one of the famous Greek poets that survived to the more modern days. And the reason his poetry survived is because his themes are about fucking,
yep,
drinking,
yep,
partying,
uh-huh,
and being sad.
Oh, like, buddy, you're going to kill it on TikTok.
Dude,
let
me tell you. Because like a lot of his poems are like, I got real hammered. I met this girl and she said no. Fuck. And I was like, but I'm rich. And she still was like, yeah, but you old.
And they were like, have you considered starting a podcast?
Well, actually, before podcasts, they started drinking societies. So this drinking society was formed in his name in London for these like, you know, middle, like upper middle and rich dudes to get hammered.
Yep.
And to talk about music. Because a lot of them were musicians.
And say things like, these females.
Basically.
Say females.
But here's the thing. So you know how we have, we open new tabs with a little tune. And our audience understands that.
Yeah.
The Anacreonic song was the formal divide between the supper part of the evening and the informal discussion part of the evening.
They had a special song for that?
Yeah. Yeah, they did have a special song for that.
Drama.
And in fact, I can pull up the song for you here.
Here's what I want to say.
Yeah.
Just like these moments where I think about like all these men in their fancy frilly shirts, wearing high heel shoes and tights, and they have a song that breaks up snacks and drinks to dinner. Like, bring back the drama, boys. Like, men need to have this type of drama.
They do.
They need this. They need like just the beautiful I don't know, just like the drama of it all. I love
that. You know what? It reminds me a lot of when I was in
glamour.
Well,
boys,
college societies are usually based around like stuff from this time.
Yeah, but they just hit each other with paddles.
No, I know, but they also have, you know, rituals and stuff like that come in. Like, this is where like the Mason shit comes from.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, this is the Anacreonic song without words.
Okay. Okay, yeah, immediately.
You know it?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But also, are we going to eat dinner?
Yeah. No, dinner's done.
Dinner's over. We're going to have
done. It's
brandy.
Time for port
brandy.
And brandy.
Yeah.
But this is, so yeah, but they make a big deal. The the expensive rich people are like, it is not a bar song. This is different. But it's like, no, this song, the defense of Fort McHenry, becomes the Star Spangled Banner.
Which was a song letting everybody know it's time to go get drunk with cigars on the leather couches.
Yes.
Okay.
So the society, just so you know, just real quick, the Anacreontic song and the Anacreontic Society disbanded in 1792.
All right.
So before, well before the war.
Do we know why?
Yes. One woman attended a meeting. Dead serious?
She ruined the whole vibe.
No, she really did. They actually said that was the exact reason.
Shut up.
Yeah. A woman, her specific name, though, is Georgiana Cavendish, the Duchess of Devonshire.
All right. She sounds pretty cool.
She's actually really awesome. who is the lady? I can't remember her name off the top of my head. The actress from Pirates of the Caribbean.
You know, Keira Knightley?
Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
Keira Knightley did a movie about her. And it's great. It's fascinating. But the Duchess of Devonshire was this very well-known woman. And she was very, like, outspoken and cool and just very, like, edgy for the time. For, like, 1790
for that time,
edgy.
They're like, ooh, she's talking.
I think there's, like, a famous painting of her, like, where she made her hair into a boat. Like,
oh, yeah.
She's like, wild. Right? But she went to a meeting and she was like, oh, I'm here. Look at me, boys. I'm different. And then they're like, all right. There's a woman here. The song's kind of bawdy. Like, all right, well, fucking just like cut a couple of the lyrics. And then everyone's like, ah, the woman's going to be here. We can't do the real shit. And then they just ended it. They just never did it again. They were like,
yeah,
I don't
that's
know.
That's wild.
You made it weird.
That's wild.
Georgiana Cavendish, the Duchess of Devonshire. She was the great, 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 great aunt of Diana, Princess of Wales.
Oh.
So there you go. So the Anacreontic song. Mm-hmm. And eventually the defense of Fort McHenry actually has four verses.
Okay.
We today really know the first.
Yeah.
But the song has four and it became a popular patriotic song that was sung at bars, at military parades.
Baseball games.
But baseball games was later. Specifically bars and military parades and political rallies.
Oh, okay.
But 4th of July parades, stuff like that, you know, that's when they really began. It became called the Star Spangled Banner, and it was one of the many unofficial national anthems.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually, up until 1921, even Ripley's Believe It or Not had lines about how, like, listen, in America, there is no national anthem. All these other countries have national anthems.
Yeah.
America doesn't have one because we just let everybody pick their own.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there was quite a few that were going back and forth. So America the Beautiful, My Country 'Tis of Thee, and Hail Columbia were other ones that were in the running for, like, what people thought of as an American national anthem. Hail Columbia sucks. Yeah, I've listened to it now. Mm. It's a bad song. It eventually became the what's called the personal anthem to the Vice President of the United States.
Oh.
It's the counter hail to what Hail to the Chief.
What do you think in the year 2024 should be our national anthem?
This is America's really good. I feel like, imagine like riding to war to This Is America.
I was going to say Rack City.
Yeah, and that's just your anthem. If Hail Columbia is the vice president's anthem, Rack City is your
that's
anthem
true.
By
yeah,
Tyga.
Yeah, you're right.
Hail Columbia, though, I listened to it, and there's actually a part in like in the middle where I'm like, I think I just heard Itsy Bitsy Spider for like four notes. It's a weird song. And for those people who are like, why Columbia? We're America. Why Columbia? Same thing with District of Columbia, and there's a lot of different. One, it's Columbus. But the Americas in general were thought of as a personification known as a woman who was called Columbia, and it was a white lady.
She's on a lot of flags.
She's on a lot of flags.
She's on
a lot of state flags.
Yeah, state flags.
Wearing a Phrygian cap.
And a stupid little laurels hat. Sometimes.
Yeah, laurels. Columbia is a Statue of Liberty is designed after Columbia. A bunch of other different stuff. It's a weird thing that we kind of dropped about the 60s.
Yeah.
But like in the 50s, 60s, it kind of fell off using Columbia. But basically until around World War II, she was in a lot of propaganda.
Anyway.
So there are, like I said, officially four verses.
Mm-hmm.
And most people only know the first. That's what they're used to. And for our international listeners, they still think it's weird as hell that we have this song the way we have it. So I'm going to actually play it for you now, full song.
Okay.
With the lyrics.
I'm suspicious immediately.
Yeah.
Suspicious of what we aren't singing.
Yeah.
Because there's probably a reason we're not singing it.
So, well, there's a few reasons for it. Now, this is going to be about 3.5 minutes long.
Okay.
So if you guys get bored, skip ahead 3.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
What do you mean boring? Songs aren't supposed to be boring.
Well, yeah, it says, this is a cappella. This is not official.
Is this you singing it?
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous flight, oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. So that's verse one.
Oh, when did you record that?
I recorded this yesterday while the baby was in the chair next to me, confused as hell. He went to sleep.
Oh, my God.
All right, so that's verse one.
Okay.
You ready for verse two?
No.
On the shore dimly seen through the mists of the deep, where the foe's haughty host in dread silence reposes, what is that which the breeze o'er the towering steep, as it fitfully blows, half conceals, half discloses? Now it catches the gleam of the morning's first beam, in full glory reflected, new shines in the stream. 'Tis the star-spangled banner, oh, long may it wave, oh, the land of the free and the home of the brave. So stanza two, you can already tell. Oh, it's like nowhere near as good. Stanza one.
Stanza one's hard.
Listen, everything I described to you about stanza one.
He's not great at rhyming.
No, it rhymes all right. Also, like, I was like trying to remember the tune as I'm singing it.
All right.
So it isn't great. But stanza one is everything I described to you.
Yeah.
Stanza two, you're like, I feel like you're just throwing in extra shit now.
Yeah, dude.
All right, you ready for stanza three? Now, stanza three.
And where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country, shall leave us no more? Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
So that verse,
all right,
that verse is the reason why people threw paint on the Francis Scott Key statue in Baltimore Harbor, because when you read the hireling and slave part is speaking about people who were freed and ex-slaves who joined the British cause, and people who were runaway slaves who joined the British cause because they were granted freedom by the British, who then were taking the opportunity to try to also free their families.
Yeah.
That has been a hotly debated part of the discussion around the national anthem.
Okay.
So especially around 2020 and the BLM protests and everything having to do with Colin Kaepernick and, you know, taking a knee during it, people pointed out, like, hey, there's a part of the national anthem. It's not the part we sing.
Yeah.
But there's some really fucked up parts to it. Now, final verse.
Oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven's rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the motherfucking brave.
Okay.
I did it.
You did it.
I did do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was one take.
Okay, good.
That was one take. I was like, I'm doing this. And then like I looked down, the baby was like, when I tell you, at first he was like, when I got to that last stanza, his eyes were open and was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
What is going on?
And I was like, your daddy's got to do weird content for the internet.
Mom left for one day.
Yeah. Mommy had to go to the city. So yeah. So that's the full song.
Yeah, it's not great when you hear the whole thing.
No, it's not great.
And there's no way we could sing it at a baseball game.
No, there's no way. Because like I said, that was me going about as fast as made sense.
Yeah.
And that was 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And like, listen, if you want a pop hit, you really don't want to go past like about 2:45.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, you need things like that are really easy to remember so that if everyone in the audience is really drunk or throwing hot dogs at each other, that they can sing along still. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of things that you said in there that you could not sing while being drunk.
And some of them are like, were awkward. They were awkward, yeah, as I was like trying to get through them. I was like, fuck it. We're just going to get through it. So a petition in 1930,
mm-hmm,
from the veterans of foreign wars,
yep,
received 5 million signatures.
That's a lot.
And that petition demanded that the Star Spangled Banner be the official national anthem of the United States of America.
Okay.
That petition was then presented to the House Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
The committee then had a debate to whether or not to make this the national anthem. They actually brought two women in.
Two. Man, one can shut down a boys' club. What are two going to do?
Two are going to sing the national anthem.
Oh, no.
To show that anyone can sing it. Because they were like,
woman can sing it.
No, their point was there was such a high pitch. Mm-hmm. The pitch of the song, the way most people were singing it at the time, It was like, it lends. That's the reason why when you're at a baseball game, like, you want to have like a better singer.
Yeah.
Or like when you're watching the Super Bowl, like, they get a good singer to sing the national anthem.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a Reba McEntire.
Don't get Fergie.
Pink. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when Pink sang it? That was the shit there. Dude. She had a sore throat. She spit out a lot and she's like, I'm here for the birds. Anyway. But that's what you want, right? So you want like, but they were able to show the average person could sing the song. So the House passed it in 1930 and the Senate. And on March 3rd, 1931, President Herbert Hoover signed the bill into law, making the Star-Spangled Banner the national anthem of the United States, officially including all four stanzas.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So that is how, that's the reason why that bridge was named the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Okay, so he was in the harbor where the bridge was when he wrote the poem.
Yes, he was approximately near there.
Honestly, when it comes to bridge naming and like naming stuff in cities,
yeah,
for how bad those other three stanzas are, it makes sense. He was there.
Hey, at least he wrote the song about Baltimore.
Yeah,
like he's watching Fort McHenry in Baltimore get bombed, and now I really want to go to Fort McHenry. Because it's still there. You can still
go
to the
floor. Can we go to the aquarium?
Yes, of course.
Hell yeah, dude.
Load the baby up. We're going to look at jellyfish.
No, that tuna that races around. The fast tuna.
Listen, the Baltimore Aquarium is magical.
Listen, I'm
going
to tell you an insider secret.
Okay.
If you ever get to the Baltimore Aquarium, and you should try to get there, it's awesome. Go backwards, okay? They're going to walk you, when you're walking that front door,
they're going to tell you to go to the right.
Everybody's going to go to the right, because that's like, follow this arrow, and then it'll tour you through. Go to the left. Walk that fucker backwards, because you will miss groups of people and you'll get so much more time alone in different rooms.
Yeah.
Just go backwards.
That's what we did last time we were there. I was just like, I don't want to go next to that huge crowd.
No.
And we went the other way.
We always go backwards.
Oh, it's amazing.
Always.
So a little bit more about Francis Scott Key.
More?
Yeah, just a little bit more. Just because we should probably like, you know, head off the rest of his life, right?
Okay.
These are the top level highlights. In 1816, Francis Scott Key helped form the American Colonization Society.
Oh, no.
While Key owned slaves himself, he was deeply religious as an Episcopalian and knew it was wrong.
Well?
So he wanted to recolonize Africa and send the slaves back. This eventually led to the African colony run by the United States that eventually became the country of Liberia
on
the west coast of Africa,
mm-hmm.
which has always been a great place.
No, oh God.
Key continued the rest of his life as a lawyer. He was close friends with genocidal president Andrew Jackson.
Oh.
And eventually, Francis Scott Key died on January 11th, 1843. And my dad informed me that at some point we lost his house.
What?
The government lost his house.
Oh, I thought you were like, we. I was like, what?
No. I don't know if it's the American government or the Maryland government, mm-hmm. but they built a bridge. There's a Key Bridge. It's in D.C. going to Maryland or something like that. There's another bridge named after him.
Okay.
It's called Key. And the Key Bridge was going to be running through his property. So they were like, hey, we're going to dismantle the house and we're going to rebuild it somewhere else.
Okay.
So they dismantled the house.
Lost it.
They put it in a warehouse and they've never found it since.
That's incredible.
It got lost like... My dad kept saying, Raiders of the Ark style. I was like, okay, Dad. Like the end of Raiders of the Ark. I'm like, I understand the reference.
Oh, wow.
So.
To me, it's not like Raiders of the Ark. It's like government bureaucracy classic.
Yeah.
Like when they find all those bottles of water in Flint in the old school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like people just lose things because of random paperwork checkbooks not getting like filed right or whatever. Like it's always that.
Yeah.
It's always that.
So what do you think?
Okay, here's what I think. I think I had no idea where this was going because I did not know who this person was.
Yeah.
And that's a failure of the education system. Mm-hmm. I should have known. I feel
the Catholic education.
The Catholic education system.
Because, like, I want to be clear about this. I knew this story from my school. I went to a good public school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk about it often. You're good public school.
Yeah, I'm in a good public school. It was free.
You know what? I swear to God. I'm going to jump across this table.
Yeah?
Because
you're violent from Catholic school.
I think one thing we didn't talk about that you told me when I came upstairs after you got done writing is that you did in fact take out four books, three of which are adult history books about this man, but the one you referenced the most was the child's book because it's actually the most well written.
Yeah, well, it's the most actual. It's the bullet points I was looking for.
Yeah,
and so when I'm going to,
but you also said this was more accurate than Wikipedia,
and for some things, yes. Because I would go to this children's book, right? And I would find the information. I would see like, okay, and here it says this.
Yeah.
The other thing I didn't talk about at the top, the other issue I had is Francis Scott Key and the Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem, has become so weaponized by the online conservative right and Republicans in America that like I couldn't go to YouTube for more information.
So did you go to Conservapedia?
No, but PragerU has plenty of videos about this.
Of course they do.
So I didn't want to hear from Prager University.
I wonder what VeggieTales thinks about it.
So what I had to do is I went out of my way is I tried to find any of these books I tried to find that were written before 2008.
Got it.
Because I feel like it was around 2000. It was really about 2010, 2012 when the right realized, hey, we need to really, we need to stop agreeing on facts.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
We need to have new facts.
Lame.
So like because of that, there was another book I really wanted to get that I couldn't find. That was a little bit more recent, but it was about putting a few more things in context. But
anyway, I thought it was great. It was very interesting. I never knew any of that history about that bridge, that guy. I didn't know any more than the first verse of that song.
I did not know.
I learned
there was
so much today.
I did not know there was four verses.
And also, you sang that whole song, and that is ridiculous and incredible. So I love that I left the house for one day, and you were in this room singing the Star Spangled Banner with a terrified baby.
Yeah,
just deeply confused. That tickles my heart.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was great. I loved it.
That's great.
Do you want to go to the Hey Huns so we can talk about other stuff?
Yes,
too?
We'll do the Hey Huns, and we'll make a couple other fun things in there. And so we'll be right back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Pearlmania, Pearlmania, Pearlmania,
Pearlmania. 500.net if you want to join our Patreon, right, Mrs. P? Or you go to patreon.com/Pearlmania500. It's always a good time.
That's where I hang out.
That's where you hang out. And like, well, you've been hanging out with our polls. We've been hanging out with our announcements for the comedy tour. We have more fun things that we're trying to build. We're trying to bring more content to
the
Patreon.
Trying to do stuff.
But we also just want to thank everybody for their continued...
Thank everybody.
Everybody.
Not just the Patreons, everybody.
Everybody.
We appreciate everybody for listening.
We do.
And sending fun comments and following us on social media and sending us stuff and comments and things.
Yeah, no, it's really great. It's
good
really,
vibes all around.
It's really great when people reach out and they're just like, we really just enjoy stuff. And I'm like, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Including people who send stuff to our P.O. box. So with that...
Hey, huh? Let's meet our team leaders.
All right. So we're going to start off here at the top. We have quite a few.
Because we are doing a push goal.
Yes.
Because if you're new here, last season, Alex read ACOTAR, A Court of Thorns and Roses. He read that book. And then he explained that book to me. And it was incredible. Because usually on book club episodes, I read a book and explain it to him. And the turnaround on that was so funny. And so many people have requested that you read further because everyone said, I cannot even tell you how many comments, it doesn't get good till the second book. You gotta read the second book. You have all these complaints about the first book, but you have to read the second book for it to get good. So we agreed that if we reach a certain number of paid Patreons,
which we are very close.
We are very close to. Alex will read A Court of Mist and Fury, the second book, and it is actually in this room. It is right next to me right now.
Right next to me, right here.
Yeah.
It is, how many pages?
It's thick.
Oh my God, it's so thick.
It's thick. It's a hardcover too.
Oh my God, the last chapter is chapter 69.
Meow.
624 pages according to this hardcover.
So, we are so close. Guys, we are so close to meeting this goal. And forcing Alex to read literature and then explain it to me, specifically horny fairy literature.
Yeah. And so let's go ahead and thank all of our new Patreons who've joined this week. Starting off with Sonic Oof.
Hey, hun.
E-U-P-H. I'm going to go
I like
Oof.
That.
After that, we have Danielle.
Hey, Danielle.
After that, we have Tropical Lilith.
Hey, hun.
After that, we have #linecook_depression, #_ Mrs. _Pearlmania _4_manager.
Yep, I get that. Hey, hon.
After that, we have client intake specialist, the intake is bourbon.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Bob's Red Mill _has a new customer.
Love that. Get your fiber in.
That, by the way, that's the proper amount of underscores, you underscore psychos. I feel like some of you aren't getting your message across. You're just putting underscores
in. Yeah, that's okay. You keep bullying him. It's fine.
After that, we have Lunar Hades.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Yuppies _yearn _4_the_ millstones.
Yo, honestly, when your life is stress-free enough, you can pick up really expensive hobbies.
Really crazy ones.
You imagine being so set in your life that you're like, you know what I want to get into? Quartz millstones.
I'll tell you, I'm going to set a goal. I'll set a Patreon goal right now.
Yeah.
If we can get 25,000 Patreons, I will get into milling.
Okay. That's, well, yeah, okay.
Yeah. If I have 25,000 Patreons.
You're going to own a barn? Get out of here.
I'll start a mill. After that, we have... Put it on the big board. After that, we have Lindsay Ray.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Grace.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Kitty Meow Yow.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Jenny McLaughlin.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Mia Punch.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Sean Sullivan.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Jason Christensen.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Petition _2_explain _Warhammer _40K _faction _lore.
I don't know what that... I know what Warhammer is because that's the thing where you paint the little figures.
Yes.
Okay, I don't know what faction lore is.
So on Warhammer, there are multiple teams.
Oh, wait, you've told me this. They're all bad guys.
Everybody's bad.
You said that. Everybody's bad.
Everybody's bad, but each of them have like crazy stories that are around them. So like, you know, like I used to play Dark Angels and I played the Orcs. So like there's wild stuff involved and they're like real, like it's like 40 years of lore.
Okay.
And we could.
That feels like a lot.
It feels like a
lot. Okay, if you were to explain this to me, would you bring down all of the little figurines from the attic to help me understand?
I think they would make it worse. Honestly, okay. I think they would make it worse. I think to me, I would have to figure out where I'd want to start. We'd like, do I start with the Emperor of Man and the Dark Age of Technology? Or do I begin at the Great Schism? Or do I go back to Van Dyer?
About,
like, there's so many areas.
We leave it up to the patrons. They can comment and let us know on this episode if this is something they want to hear about. And if so, where should he start?
And which faction?
Yeah.
You know, I think that the easy thing would be to start with one of the Space Marine factions. I think that's
Did
where
it
would be
easy. Did you say Space Marine?
Yes.
Do you know that these words aren't real when you put them together?
They steal children and fill them with gene seeds so they become giant, 7-foot-tall racist warriors that kill Xenos in space.
Why are you talking about Scientology at me right now?
After that, we have Mrs. _Frizzle_Gave_Me_LSD.
Same Z's. Hey, hun.
After that, we have formerly Anonymity_Accountability_Penguin. Hi, Mrs. P.
Hey, hun.
They sent in a message to let us know that they were returning.
Nice. Welcome back.
Yeah, they're welcome back. After that, we have Tamlin_autocorrects_2_tampon.
Yeah, we found that out, and we love that fact. Hey, hun.
After that, we have Hadley.
Hey, hun.
Desma.
Hey, hun.
Brianna.
Hey, Brianna.
Maya.
Hey, Maya.
Next one is when_will_great_mystery_of_what_mrs_peas_face_looks_like_b_solve.
What's my face look like? Pretty clear right now. Been pretty good on the skincare regimen.
I think they're just I think they're more wondering of when you would probably ever be on camera. So there's a couple things that we want to say about this.
There's a couple things.
Number one, which is that we have been discussing a little bit of the potentiality for camera stuff. Mrs. P still, even if we did that, would not be on camera for now. What we're really thinking about, and the reason why we keep trying to tell everybody about the stand-up tour, is if this tour goes well this year, then next year, when baby's a little bit older and a little bit more mobile that we can move around with, and we could guarantee ticket sales and those things, you might see Mrs. P in person on stage where we possibly do tours of doing the podcast live. That is something that we've been talking about for a while now.
We're manifesting it. We've got dream boards going.
Yeah.
We're really working it out.
I'm manifesting it, honestly. I'm getting a van and I'm manifesting in a van. Yeah. But no, there's a few things we've been talking about with this for some time. This is not anywhere near in 2024.
Yeah.
It's more likely a 2025 thing. But, you know, Mrs. P has her reasons why she doesn't want to be on camera. And we thank everybody for respecting that and reaching out to us for whenever we make a tiny little slip up.
Thank you.
Yeah, with names and faces. Every now and then I'll just get a message like, hey, this one. I'm like, oh, shit, delete.
Yeah.
So thank you. After that, we have just a couple more. President_of_the_ricened_hate_club.
Bet. See, people are calling back. They're ready for you to read the second book. I'm ready for you to remind me who the fuck Ricin is.
Yeah, well, he's the guy who runs the court of Mist and Fury.
He was the bad guy or the second bad guy?
No, so there was the bad guy was the lady, remember, who ran under the mountain.
Yeah.
And then there was the guy who just like wore all black and was like, I'm in your mind. Also, you're kind of sexy.
Yeah. That's Ricin?
That's Ricin.
Who was the guy that was like friend that was like the other...
The fox guy.
The fox guy. That's what I'm thinking of. That's not Ricin.
No, that's not him. That guy was cool. That guy was fine. That guy was bi-coded.
I bet you anything you're going to regret saying that by reading the next book.
Probably. After that, we have Billy the Grim.
Hey, hon.
And finally, we have a returning Patreon.
Welcome back.
Who they were very upset because they returned right after we recorded our last episode.
Oh, no.
So they missed
the window.
They missed the window because Lady Jazz Hands came back, and their new name is Lady Jazz Hands underscore March underscore 24th underscore is underscore my underscore birthday.
Let's go. Happy birthday to you.
We are so sorry, Lady Jazz Hands.
I hope you have a lovely birthday.
I hope you had a lovely birthday.
That's what I meant, had. Yeah.
And you know what? We'll make sure that we'll miss it next year, too.
I hope you got to sleep in.
Yeah.
I hope your pillow was cold on both sides every time you turned it over.
Mm.
I hope your cup of coffee stayed warm for as long as you needed to, or your iced coffee stayed really icy without getting watered down.
Yeah.
You know, I hope you had a really nice lunch where nobody fucking talked to you.
Yeah.
I hope that for you.
Yeah.
And I hope that when you got home and you stared at your many screens, your little screen, your medium screen, and your big screen, you were able to turn your brain off properly.
Yeah.
And then get a good night's sleep. You know, yeah. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Lady Jazz Hands. From all of us here at Too Many Tabs, to all of our Patreons, to everyone who listens out there, thank you guys so much for another fun episode. Thank you to everyone who's been buying tickets and reaching out. And like I said, the more tickets we sell, the more like chances we would have to be doing future shows. Thank you. Have yourself a happy whatever holiday you're celebrating.
Have a great week, guys.
Too many frauds and too many scammers that we wish weren't real. Too many cons and too many spammers, and we're starting to feel like we've got too many tabs open. It's too many tabs. Remember to smile.